Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16. 16 verses 1 to 20 this morning is what we will be going through. It's Exodus 16, 1 to 20. So we think about in Christ alone, right? This in Christ alone, my hope is found. That's what we sing. Of course, we know this is ultimately pointing to our eternal hope, our salvation in what? In Christ alone, in what He did, in His provision, right? So we get that, and we're called to faith in that, and we trust that. If that's true, and we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, if that's true, and we entrust our souls upon Christ alone and what He's done, then we can certainly do that in our life here on this earth until He brings us home. And so the question is Christ alone, what your hope's built in, even here as you walk on this earth as His people, right? Not what He's got in His hands for you, but Him, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see what I'm talking about, right? We say, be thou my vision, Lord, right? The only thing that song talks about, may you and your presence be my vision, what I look to. Is that true? Not what He's got in His hands for you, but Him, the person of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our hope. Let's see. Pray the Lord lets us see that this morning so we can walk in faith of that truth. Exodus 16. Word of the Lord says this. Can't separate God from His Word. Can you? Is your hope in the Lord? Let's hear what He's got to say. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Grumble, grumble, grumble. And the sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. And it will come about on the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, at evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to full in the morning, for the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against Him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He has heard your grumblings. And it has came about, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard. Do you think the Lord heard their grumblings? I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. And when the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." And this is what the Lord has commanded. "Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent." And the sons of Israel did so. Some gathered much and some little. And when they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it until morning." But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's Father's Day, at least here in our culture. Lord, help this day and what it's called in our culture call us to seek the one who is truly our Father, our good Father. Lord, you sat on your throne. You made us. You rule us. You govern us. You pour out your provision on us. Help us to see that today, Lord. Help us to see rightly. God, we're a needy people. This is so true. But Lord, help us to see where we need to go to for our needs. Help us to see what our true need is. God, I pray you feed us your sheep today. There's no greater need than you and your word. So Lord, cause it to nourish our souls, inform our minds, capture our hearts, so that we begin to walk in light of it. And Lord, let this bring rest to our souls. Let our hope be found in you alone. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, we looked at the story of the bitter waters of Marah, didn't we? And we saw that right from the very beginning, right after God had basically saved them from the Egyptians in this great and mighty way and showed His glory, that He led them straight away out into the wilderness, out into the testing grounds to test their faith. And we saw that they had a great test, that they were without water, right? And even to the point where dehydration was very possible. But at the last moment, it seemed God showed up and He healed the water, providing exactly what they needed, showing Himself to be Yahweh Rapha, right? The Lord our healer. And so God taught them a great lesson there that whatever ails them, whatever hurt they have, whatever need they have basically, He will bring it. Right? He is Yahweh Rapha. They should look to Him for this. Now, as we now transition to the very next passage, right, and we're still out there in the wilderness, what we're going to see is God's going to teach them the same lesson again. This time they're not lack of water, but lack of food, right? Another great need that we have. And so, again, at the last moment when it looks like to them how things are so desperate, that God shows up and He shows Himself to be the great provider, that He's the one they need and He will provide all they need. Now, you would think that after such a lesson, they wouldn't need another lesson of the same kind so soon, would you? But oh, yes, they did. Right? Because the Israelites, as we'll see, they forget and they forget and they forget. And we're no different, right? We get taught this lesson and we say we've got it and we walk off and we forget it. And so we need the lesson. That's why it's right here in the Word, back to back. They needed it. We need the lesson. God is the one we need. He's our provider, right? So He's going to teach us that today through this story that we know about manna, right? And what a beautiful story that is. But what is God telling us through this, okay? He's teaching us this valuable lesson. So here's what I want to do in order to help us to learn this lesson. We're just going to break this story down into three parts. Look at a different aspect that each part reveals, and all which will all lead us to the truth and point us to the fact that God's our provider. And He's what we need. Okay? So what are these parts? Well, the first part is we have a grumbling people. A grumbling people. If you look at verses 1 to 3 and also the second half of verse 7 and 8 and 9, that'll be our context here. That's what we'll look at. Well, what do you see as you look at the very beginning of this passage? Well, the passage begins like it did last week. God leads them back out into the wilderness. Remember what the wilderness is. It's very extreme conditions of the desert. And it's also the testing ground. The place that God uses to teach His people lessons. As Spurgeon said, it was Cambridge University for these people. So God leads them right back out there. They had a brief respite in Elam, right? But just for a little while, God gave them a little refresher, and then back out to learn the lessons that He wanted to teach His people. And what we see is God begins to teach them this time, instead of lack of water, lack of food. And we see it didn't take very long at all for the people to what? To respond the exact same way they responded to lack of water. They began to grumble and complain against Moses. We're going to die. Grumbling and complaining was the besetting sin of the Israelites. They grumbled when they were back in Egypt, when their conditions got worse and straw was taken away from them. Moses, get out of here. They grumbled at the Red Sea, right? They grumbled at Marah just a short time ago. As we'll see, they'll grumble for the next 40 years. So it shouldn't be a surprise to us to see His people grumbling and complaining here. And it wasn't just a few of them. What does it say? The whole congregation. There's a million plus people at least, right? Could be 2 million. All these people are grumbling and complaining against Moses. And so what we see again is they had a grumbling spirit. Because remember what we saw last week is that when grumbling comes, it's not really about the circumstances. It's about revealing what's in the heart. What's already there. There's this discontentment in the heart, and it's just bringing it out. And basically a discontentment with the Lord and what He's done and our relationship with Him. That is what's being revealed here. So let it again be a warning to us when we have this grumbling and complaining spirit about our circumstances. Because again, it's revealing what's in us. And it's also revealing in the moment that we're not seeing things rightly. When we grumble and complain, our perspective is off. It's wrong. The Israelites are the perfect example of this, right? How do I know it's wrong? You don't know my circumstance. Well, the Lord's told me in His Word that we as His people should rejoice always. And again, He says, rejoice. When did He say rejoice? Always. So if we're grumbling, are we rejoicing? Absolutely not. Can't do both at the same time. So when we're complaining, we are not seeing things rightly. And the Israelites are a perfect example. I can see three things the Israelites were seeing wrongly while they grumbled. First, they saw their current circumstances as worse than they were. Right? Isn't that what we do? They were going to die. That was their complaint. Right? Verse 3, Moses, you brought us out here to die. You're going to kill us. Right? They're going to starve to death. That's true. The Israelites didn't have a lot of food. It had been a month now since they had left Egypt. 1 month, and so their provisions are likely pretty wiped out. Right? But if we look in the next chapter, what we'll see is that they still had their livestock because they were needing water for their livestock. Well, if they've got their livestock, they're not in danger of starving to death yet. They've got things like milk and cheese. And if they had to, they've got meat, right? They could kill livestock. So it's not quite as bad as they were making it out to be. I mean, it's bad. They probably didn't have a lot to choose from, right? And they were looking, going, well, you know, if this continues on, we will starve to death. But it's not quite as bad as that perspective. They were probably really more grumbling about the desires of certain kind of food and not just food for life itself in the moment. Psalm 78:18 kind of confirms this. Listen to this. He says, and in their heart, of course, if you look, that old psalm's talking about this time and God's people in the wilderness. He says, in their heart, they put God to the test by what? Asking food according to their desire. So really what was going on is they're grumbling, complaining because they weren't getting what they wanted. Right? Not the actual need that they made it out to be. So things weren't as bad as they made it out to be. And brothers and sisters, we do the same thing. When we're grumbling, complaining, if you can back off, everybody else around you can see it usually, if they're not grumbling with you. Sometimes it captures everybody around you. But if you can, you know, you see that with your kids, right? They grumble and complain. It's like, you know, it's not nearly as bad as what you're making it out to be. And that's what we do. It's because, why is that? Because it's about our desire and what we want and not really about the current circumstance. It's just not as bad as we're making it out to be. We're seeing it wrongly, right? It's about our preference. All we got to do is trust God that the circumstances are the way they should be. That's hard when it's hard, bitter pills, right? We're not seeing it rightly. Second thing they don't see rightly, they not only see their current conditions as worse than they really are, they see their past conditions as way better than they were, right? They're sitting around going, oh, wish we were back in Egypt. Because remember the good old days in Egypt when we just sat around and had pots full of meat all the time and bread all the time? Whoa, we could just eat to the full there. What the good old days, right? We don't do that. We don't long for the good old days when everything was so much better. Truth is, the good old days weren't as good as we think those good old days were. Right? We over-exaggerate that stuff. Israelites greatly over-exaggerated it. So much so they wanted to go back. No matter what that meant. They said, you know, it'd be better to die by the hand of the Lord in Egypt than die of hunger out here. Do you know what they said when they said that? They said, we wish we were never saved. This is what it means. You know what it means to die by the hand of the Lord in Egypt? It means to die like the rest of the Egyptians did at the hand of the Lord in the plague, by His judgment. So they're saying, I would rather die by the judgment of the Lord and have those good conditions then than to be disciplined by a loving Father out here in the wilderness. Madness. If we ever long to go back to a lost condition, we are definitely not seeing things rightly. People say things like this, and they do. You know, if it's what it means to follow the Lord, I don't want no part of it. You know? I'd rather have the good conditions now and go through hell than to have a little bit of inconvenience now and experience eternal life in heaven. I mean, that's what they're saying. They know not what they say. We know not what we say if we say such things or even contemplate in our minds going back to a condition when we were lost. We definitely over-exaggerate the past conditions. They don't see the current conditions, right? And the last thing is they don't see who they're complaining against, right? I mean, was that not obvious here, what Moses and Aaron? Who are they complaining against? Well, it's Moses and it's Aaron's fault. You have led us out here into the wilderness. You have brought us out to die. And Moses and Aaron said, who are we that you grumble against us? You're not grumbling against us. And so rightly and lovingly they say, you're grumbling against the Lord. You're not grumbling against us, right? Because why? Moses and Aaron were just an instrument of the Lord. He's the one behind all this. And they were failing to see the sovereign hand of God behind all their circumstances. Instead, all they were doing was walking by sight. They saw the man in front of them, the one they thought was responsible for their conditions, and they grumbled and complained against him. And we do the exact same thing when we grumble and complain about people in our life. Are not people in our life there because the Lord's put them there? Are they not instruments in our life for whatever He's deemed that we need? And who's behind those people? The sovereign hand of the Lord. So listen, be careful. And this is me. I'm having to sit under the weight of this word all week and hopefully much longer because it will bear much fruit if I will allow it to. But if I grumble against my wife or to my wife or my children or my parents or my friends or my boss or my president, who are we grumbling against? Lord, we don't like the situation we're in. Right? It's your fault. It's what we're really saying. Now, that's what Moses and Aaron are trying to reveal to the Israelites. Is, be careful. He hears your grumblings. He hears them. The Lord hears all things, and we know that, but I don't think we think he hears our grumblings. Even if we don't speak them out loud, brothers and sisters, he hears them. The Lord hears our grumblings, and they're always a revelation of our discontentment with the Lord. We don't see it. Don't get me wrong. We don't intentionally do that because most people don't, I hope. I think some do, but fearful thing to do that intentionally. But that's what we do unintentionally. This was a grumbling people. They weren't seeing things rightly. Let us learn this lesson that we grumble and complain that we're not seeing these things rightly. Let the Lord sanctify us in this. Help us to see things the way they really are. So when we're tempted to grumble and complain, we will be, right? Let's see, 40 years of grumbling and complaining here. We're going to get plenty of opportunities to be sanctified in this. Let's look and see what's really going on. So we have a grumbling people. What's the second part of our passage? Well, we see a glorious God, don't we? Look at verses 4 through the first half of verse 7 and then 10 and 15. That'll be our context. And what we see there is we see God's response to the grumbling and complaining. Moses and Aaron said, he hears you. He hears you complaining, right? So what did he did? And God said, I hear them. I hear your complaints. He told them too. What was his response? Well, it's not what we would expect humanly speaking, because I would expect a much harsher response. All right? Whoop-pow. At least some kind of a serious reprimand. But what does God do? He provides what they ask for. Wow. He didn't provide. He provided abundantly and miraculously. As he brought not just bread, but bread and meat. Right? First that night, he brought quail, meat. Remember the days when we were sitting by the meat pots in Egypt? It was so good. God said, you want meat? He gives them quail, like they just come and land, and there's so many they covered the camp. So, I mean, they're everywhere. How easy were they to catch and eat? They probably didn't have much effort at all in killing. They eat quail. Boy, this good, you know, quail coming out their teeth. And they were probably living it up that night. God provided. And then the next morning, right, he provided this manna. Now, all that means in Hebrew is, what is it? That's what manna means, literally. And why, manna, that's what they were doing. What is it? Because they saw this stuff on the ground and they're like, well, you don't know what that is. And Moses said, this is the bread the Lord has provided for you. This is your food you've asked for, right? And God didn't just provide that once. He provided that. The quail was a one-time deal. We'll see it again in Numbers, but at this point in time, it's a one-time deal. But the bread was, from here on, every morning for 40 years. You go to the last verse of this passage, or that couple of last verses, you'll see that. He provided it till they got to Canaan. 40 years? God provided manna. Now, why did he do this, right? Is it just because they asked, right? Just to appease these grumbling children? No. As we see, the Lord did this, as he does all things. Why? For his glory. Verse 7. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings and complainings, right? Verse 10. And it came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation, sons of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord. So when God performed this miracle and provided this manna and the quail, he revealed his glory to the Israelites. In two ways he did this. First, he simply revealed his glory when he provided in such a miraculous way. And what he did is he showed that he once again is a God who hears his people, who cares for his people, and who provides for his people. He just added to the weight. And you know, that's really what the root of the word glory is, the weight, the weightiness. He added to the weight of who he is and his reputation. Right? Once again, he proved himself out to be. This is who this God is. And so it's the same way with us. God reveals his glory every time he provides for us. Did you realize that? Every single time he provides for us, he adds to his reputation of being this great and glorious God. And so really, every time we have provision, we should see his glory. That's what we ought to see. Because he's the one behind it, right? When you go, wherever you're going to go from here and have your meal, and I'm sure, I don't know, most people here have some kind of meal plan. Where did that come from? That provision? Comes from God, and it will be good, won't it? You'll enjoy it, probably. Give glory to the Lord that he provided that, and see it for what it really is, right? He's given us a cool place here. What's he done? He's provided a good gift to us. That's the glory of the Lord that he would do that. You know, just simple things. Not even the big things. He didn't have to do it in a glorious manner. Why did he do it in such a glorious manner? Well, it's the second way he revealed his glory. He physically revealed his glory here to the people, right? They looked and they saw it. It appeared in the clouds. Why? Well, why did he actually give them a tangible sight of his glory? So they had no way of messing this up. It's like, this is God who gave us this manna. It comes from his hand, right? When he provided the quail, when he provided the bread, oh, that was the Lord. I saw him. There's no doubt this is who he is, right? And God did that to teach his people the lesson he was wanting them to understand, right? Verse 6, he says, so Moses and Aaron said, sons of Israel, at evening you will know the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt and you'll see his glory. He showed his glory so they would know he was the one that brought them out of Egypt. Verse 12, and I heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel speak them saying, at twilight you shall eat meat and in the morning you shall be filled with bread and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. God was revealing to them, he's the one that brought them out into the wilderness. He is their God. Now you might think, well, don't they already know that? Didn't he do all those miracles and plagues in Egypt that they saw? Did he do the Red Sea and bring it down in front of their eyes? And isn't there this pillar of cloud and fire out, leading us out here into this desert? You'd think they know. Verse, who do they accuse of bringing them into the wilderness to kill them? Moses. And the Lord's saying, you're going to know it's me. I brought you out here, not Moses, right? Just like Jesus dealing with his people. Moses didn't feed them. My God did. My Father did. I did. He had to reveal to them. He keeps teaching them the same lesson. I'm the one who's doing this. I'm your God, and therefore I'm the one you need. When I provide this bread, you don't need the bread. You need me. And I want you to know that and understand that. That's why God performs this miracle. It's not just to appease them and to feed them. It's to reveal who he was and that he's what they needed. Moses reveals this to them. Later on, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Should be a familiar verse to it, but listen to what he says in its full. He, that is God, humbled you and let you hunger. Now, take that in for a minute. What did God do? He humbled them by letting them hunger in the wilderness. Right? So, what was by the hand of the Lord? Their hunger, what they grumbled and complained against. And he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Why? That he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you see what he's teaching? You don't need the bread. You need the Lord. And His Word is not separated from the Lord. You need the Lord, you need His Word. You need His Word, you need the Lord. It's not the provision you need, it's the provider you need. You understand what I'm saying? We chase this provision all the time. We chase it. Like that's what we need. When it's actually the provider that we need. And God's teaching His people this lesson in the desert and they still don't get it. And we don't either. Because we're always chasing the provision. We acknowledge it's from the Lord's hand, but we're always chasing it rather than Him. Jesus, again, is trying to teach the people the same lesson, right? He did this miracle. Fed 5,000 people miraculously, fed them food. They were hungry. He gave them what He needed. What did the people do? We got to go after this Jesus, right? Went to the other side of the lake. Where'd He go? We got to follow Him. And they followed Him. And Jesus turned around them and He said, don't you follow Me for the bread that perishes. Don't you do it. He knew what they wanted. He said, you follow Me for the bread that brings life. He said, the people that ate the bread that Moses gave that you're talking about, they talked about that. They're dead. That bread doesn't bring life. Right? And they said, well, tell us how to get this bread. Right? We want that if you'll give it to us. What'd He say? I am the bread of life. Who comes to Me will never hunger and never thirst. See what He's teaching them? He's teaching them the exact same lesson. You're going after bread and you need Me. I'll give you bread. I'll give you whatever you need. You just come. You need Me. This is the truth. The lesson that the Lord's teaching us continually in His Word. It's Him. It's the person of God that we should be going after constantly. We don't go to His Word to find His provision. We go to His Word to find Him. And we trust that He'll provide. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and these other things will be given to you. That means seek Me. That's the lesson. Grumbling people, a glorious God. We have one more aspect. One more part, and it's called, I just call it a simple test. Simple test. If you look at verse 4, and then verses 16 to 20, the end of the passage, we see this simple test. So far, again, we've seen the lesson. God's saying, I'm withholding food from you so that you get hungry, so that I can provide in a miraculous way, so that you can see that I'm the one that you need, because I'll provide everything you need. Just trust Me. Look to Me. That's the lesson. Moses spells it out for us, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Man doesn't live by bread, lives by Me. That's the lesson. I talked about this last week in my introduction. What do we know comes in school after lessons? Tests. What's the purpose of a test? To see if we really learned the lesson or not. Right? Guess what's coming next for the Israelites? I taught you the lesson. Now I'm going to test you. Let's see if you really got it. Verse 4, right? The Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven, and the people shall go out and gather a day every portion, that I may what? Test them. Whether or not they will walk in My instruction. And that's the test every time. God teaches us a lesson. The test is, will you do what I tell you to do? Will you walk in My instruction? Because that's the proof, right? Whether we really believe the Lord and we trust the Lord and the lesson that He's taught us, I'll just do what you tell me to do. It sounds simple, right? But like my brother TJ, when the Lord works those things out together, but He's talking about what do? We start bringing our human reasoning into it and thinking, oh, Lord, I think this and this is the way to get there. And all we got to do, get in the Word, say, well, what are you telling me to do? It's always the test. Will I trust? Will I do what it says to do? No matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm seeing, no matter what I'm thinking. What was the test specifically for the Israelites? Well, it was verses 16 to 20 and beyond. We'll talk about more next week in a whole different subject, but it's part of the test as well. But it's all of his instructions on how to gather the manna, right? All these tests will show whether they really trust that the Lord's their provider. Because if he's the provider, then of course I'm going to do what you say. If you're my provider, I'll do what you say and you'll provide for me, right? No matter what it looks like. So what's his instruction? First instruction, everybody goes out to gather this stuff. Everybody go and gather what you can. Everybody needs an omer apiece. I'll supply that. You just go get it. So everybody works. Nobody gets to sit back and be lazy and have somebody else go do it for them, right? Nope. Everybody goes out and they gather. Gather what you can according to your ability. And the Israelites, they did pretty well on this portion of the test. You know, if you could divide it in this, what we see today in two halves, this first half, verse 17, it actually says the sons of Israel did so. They did it. And they all went and gathered. And some gathered a lot and some gathered a little. But guess what? At the end of the day, everybody had what they needed. Everybody had an omer apiece. So apparently they were sharing. Right? Some gathered a lot and some gathered a little, but when they divided it all out, everybody had an omer. No, the person in the back of the line did not go without. The Lord provided for every one of his people exactly what they needed, and they shared to do this. Now, this is a side note, but how well we're trusting the Lord for provision can sometimes be evidenced by how ready we are to share with what we have, isn't it? Now, I'm talking about food or provision, material things, money, whatever. Right? Because if we'll share in opportunities that the Lord gives us to share, and those opportunities are many, if we'll do that, right, and we're doing it by faith, and what we're doing is trusting the Lord to provide what we need when we need it. Right? I got this right now, I got a little, let me give it. The Lord give me what I need. If we don't, we're probably a little afraid. Well, what if? I might need that later. Right? That's just an evidence. They passed this part. Second half of the test is a little different story, right? What was the second half of the test? You gather what you need for today and you eat it today. Don't you store any of it up. You see that? If you store it up, it's going to rot. It did rot. So he's saying, I'll provide what you need today. You eat what you need today. Trust me for tomorrow's provision. Just trust me. Some of them didn't trust. What'd they do? They kept it over. Oh, but you know, I could do without some of this. Let me hold over some of this, right? And what the Lord's teaching here is no hoarding. No storing up. Out of fear that he's not going to provide for you tomorrow, right? You've given me a lot today, Lord. Let me hold on to this because you might not give me some later. And they hoarded it up and kept it up. And what happened? It wasted away. Worms ate it, stank, got rotten. Didn't do them any good. That's grace. Well, really? Yeah. He's trying to teach them who they need to trust in. So he took that away so they'd have to learn that lesson the very next day. He's trying to teach his people to trust him and not trust in the stuff. What happened with Moses? Moses was angry. Why was he angry? Because the people showed they did not trust God. And ultimately, brothers and sisters, what they showed with this hoarding mentality is they trusted in the provision more than the provider. If I have enough of this stuff, I'll be okay. Do you see what? That's what your hope's in when you're doing that. Right? That's why God didn't speak too kindly of a man that built bigger barns just to hold what he had. He said, I can say to myself, I've got enough. The Lord said, you fool. Gotta trust. And this works its way out in many ways. Right? Wow, it works its way out in many ways. Have we got enough stuff? Have we got enough? We don't worry about food. Well, most of us don't because the Lord's provided so much, but it works its way out and all this other stuff. Bank account. I've got enough in my bank account. If something happens, I've got enough for many days, you know. And listen, the Lord teaches Proverbs about saving. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. See things rightly, right? But the call is, when he calls you to live like this, can you trust him in that, or are you going to hoard, you know? Can you live like Mike Stockwell lives? And we're not all called to do that, but could you if you did, where you just say, Lord, I'll trust you for tomorrow. I'll sell everything and just do what you want me to do. That means living a little closer to this than a lot of us. The Lord's teaching us a lot of lessons lately. All right? A lot of lessons. He's been teaching us this lesson a lot. He's what we need. He's our, does it sound familiar? Who's the source of our joy and satisfaction and our hope? He is. Not in the stuff. Same lesson he's here with our provision. Who do we really need? Do we need our bread? Is that what we want to put our hope on? If we store up enough food for a nuclear holocaust, if we got it made? He's teaching us that he's what we need. He's teaching us over and over. And I'm trying to go, yes, Lord. I understand. But what always comes after the lessons? So we're probably all walking in tests right now. Some of you, I know you are, because I see it. So the test is always, will you do what I tell you to do? Just trust me. Right? Throw caution to the wind. No. Just trust me. Do what I say. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm what you need. Right? Not what I'll give you, but me, personally, the Lord. Let's trust it. Let's just do what he says. Our God is glorious. He'll give us what we need. Let's just go after him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, see your lesson. I pray you help us all see it. But Lord, that doesn't mean we always get it. As soon as the test comes, we start getting all troubled and hard. And Lord, what's going on? And start accusing everybody in our life for bringing trouble. Help us to truly rest in you, Lord. Help us to truly see that you're what we need, nothing else. Let us walk in it. Let this be rest for our souls, Lord. My goodness, if we can trust you for the salvation of our soul, we can trust you for whatever we need in this world. Let us truly trust you. Give us faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.